Our second reading is the second chapter of the book of Esther. Esther chapter 2, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan, the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and her mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Hege, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Hege, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification, such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purifying of the women, then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shaashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hege, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, into his house royal, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. And he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of whose which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Okay, so obviously this is not a manual on how to get a wife. It's not what we see going on here. We see a true recording, however, of an historical circumstance as to how the king sought a wife to replace Vashti. May I say to you that if Vashti thought the situation that she was under was degrading and she refused it, may I say that the comparison here for the situation under which Esther comes could easily be considered more degrading than Vashti's circumstance. And yet the difference between these two women is that one submits and obeys and the other does not. One disobeyed as a wife, and the other obeyed even though she might only become a concubine instead and be shut up for the rest of her life. So these are interesting comparisons. I believe that we are intended to see them in this passage. So we have in the first few verses then the relief of the king, the relief after the loss of his wife. She could no longer be his wife. And I think there is a very strong implication in the text that he was sorry that she was gone. And so his chamberlains that ministered to him said to him, well, let's set about to find you a new wife. Let's find you some comfort, some of the comfort that only a wife can give. And so Ahasuerus is pleased for their suggestion, and so they did. Now we introduce in verse 5 Mordecai. Mordecai is our hero of the story. He is a faithful man, a believer in the Lord, protects his people. He is the uncle to one Hadassah, is her Jewish name. She has a name in the land of her captivity. She is called Esther. Hadassah is her name. It is interesting to note that this man is of Benjamite extraction, that he is a son of Kish. Remember that Kish was a family name. We're not talking about that he's a son of the same father that Solomon was a son of, obviously. There's way too many years there. But there is a Kish that came back from the captive, was taken captive with Jeconiah. And so most commentators would describe this, that it is this Kish that was brought forth with Jeconiah or Jehoiakim, and he is the grandson of this Kish. And so he is a Benjamite. Why does that matter? It will matter later in the book. So we'll see something that a former son of Kish failed to do, and that a now son of Kish does. But we'll see that later in the book. Okay, so then the chamberlains go out, and they gather up the most beautiful, fair young virgin women of the kingdom. And the procedure is obviously a Gentile procedure, not something that the Lord ever commanded in his word, that she would spend 6 months in finishing school, as it were, with special oils and spices and so on. And then after having bathed in those daily and put them on and so on, she would be brought into the king. They would spend the night together. And if the king was not pleased, she would go into a second house run by a different eunuch. and they would be shut up as concubines for the rest of their lives unless the king called upon them. So that's Esther's lot at this point, which, as we said a moment ago, she submits to. She has faith in her God. And so, submitting to that process, she doesn't need anything extra. She doesn't seem like a prima donna or a fussy woman. She's had these two back-to-back 6 months of finishing school, if you will. And when it's time to go in to meet the king, she doesn't require anything extra. She's humble, although she has been favored. That favor does not go to her head. It's a very important point to note. And again, in this, she is to be contrasted to Vashti. So the keeper of the women, Haggai, gives to Hadassah seven maidens to wait upon her, and he prefers her, that she was put in the best place of the house of the women, the most comfortable accommodations, and that's where she stayed for a year, to be made ready to meet the king. And so then, we see the procedure of going to meet the king in verse 12. Verse 14, she comes in, and it is indeed her turn. Sorry, in verse 15, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in to the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. So she doesn't need anything extra, although they had, it seems from the earlier narrative, opportunities. You know, I've got one shot to impress the king, right? So make sure I get the best fineries, the best jewelry, give me it all. You know, I only got one shot here. Certainly that's what some of those women were thinking, not Esther. She had trusted her God that whatever came out of this meeting, this time with Ahasuerus, that it would indeed be for the good of her soul and the glory of God. And so, yes, this is a somewhat of a degrading procedure, yet she submits to it under the hand of the Lord. And so he loves her. He makes her queen instead of Vashti. He makes a great feast, even Esther's feast, as he called it. When the virgins were gathered together the second time, Mordecai sat in the king's gate. And notice, this is the second time we learn that Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. Why? For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In other words, she knew that she was a woman under authority and knew how to behave herself in it. Again, contrasting that to Vashti. So that brings us to the end of the scene with Esther, at least up to this point. She is made queen. She has not showed that she is a Jewess. She's not revealed her name Hadassah. None of that. She is now the wife of the king, and we might imply from the text, she is humble and obedient and eager to serve her husband as his wife. Then one other thing that takes place toward the end of the chapter, which we will see here, we have two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh. They become angry with the king, and they want to kill him. And that plot comes to Mordecai's ears, and he presses his relationship with Esther. And Esther goes to the king, and she certifies Mordecai to him, still without revealing her background, her race as a Jew. Still, without doing that, she does bring the report, and notice that they don't just receive the report. They don't just receive it as, quote, guilty, no. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. And so we see, even here in this Persian kingdom, we see a measure of that natural light that belongs to rulers. That there is, although we have seen some things that are degrading, we've seen some other things that are commendable. You know, there are some kingdoms in this world, all you need is an accusation against the king, and you'll be primaried. Not here. There is inquisition made to see whether or not these men were guilty. And once they were found out to be guilty, only then for the plot to kill the king where they hanged up. So there is justice in this land. We will rely on that justice later, will we not? When the Lord will indeed bring it to the fore in the days of Haman and Mordecai. So the Lord had his witness there, that natural witness. He also had it by way of special revelation in that many Jews were there and they had the word of God with them in some way or another. And so already we are seeing the Lord moving in these providential things, even using the messy vicissitudes of heathen choosings of wives, even making use of that to put those people in the position that they will need to be in when that day comes, when they come under threat, and the holy seed looks like it might be wiped out. Such an amazing book, this book of Esther.